Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
What's up and welcome in. You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is the telephone number. Hit me up on Snapchat, SnapJHood. Also on Instagram, IGJHood. You follow me on Instagram and I say thank you. As we keep you company here until 10 o'clock, we'll hear from Stephen Bardo from FS1 and the Big Ten Network. We'll get his thoughts coming up in 8 minutes. His thoughts about the NBA draft. What will the Bulls do at 7? We'll get his thoughts about that coming up in a little bit. Also, we'll have Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. Johnny Manziel is a very funny story that we're going to have for you coming up for Tales of the Hood about his time with the New England Patriots. Also, for you wrestling fans, an hour from now, Bruce Pritchard, good old brother love, is going to be in hour number 3 at the top of the hour. As soon as SmackDown Live is over, you'll be able to hear from Bruce Pritchard, good old brother love from the WWF days. Right now, he is a producer for MLW Wrestling, the MLW Fusion show that's on BN, on that BN network. We will hear from Bruce coming up at 9 o'clock. Also, he's in town for his very popular podcast, Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson. They're going to be at the House of Blues in Chicago on Saturday, so we'll hear from Bruce Pritchard coming up at 9. Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic, very terrific writer, NBA writer, now working with the Bulls, covering the NBA for theathletic.com. We'll hear from Darnell coming up at 9:30. All part of the mix right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So glad to have you in. So today the Golden State Warriors had their parade. And as we heard in our last hour, you know, Draymond Green throwing salt at Tristan Thompson. And it's, you know, it's the Golden State Warriors. They are the cock of the walk for a reason, man, because they have won 3 championships the last 4 years. This is how the NBA works. It works with dynasties, where it's not a one-off. You have a number of teams that will have multiple championships that are won, and now it's the Warriors' run. I think that the most fascinating thing for me about the NBA is what's next. It's like appreciating the moment and relishing the moment and finding out exactly what we're seeing here, and then try to look over the fence and say, okay, who's going to be the team that's next? I'm going to talk to Steve about this and talk to Darnell about this as well. Like, I'm thinking that maybe the Celtics are the next closest thing. But all depends on what else the Celtics do. Like, is LeBron James going to Boston? We'll get into that LeBron nonsense, because it's been nonstop all day on ESPN and a lot of different columns I've been reading today about where LeBron's going to go. But the Warriors are very interesting, because there hasn't. One thing I've been saying is that the Warriors don't have a lot of drama. I have very little drama around the Warriors. One of the hallmarks of being a champion is to keep the drama down and just keep the success up. We saw that with a number of championship teams over the years. The Patriots were that team until recently, where you start seeing players and Gronkowski and Tom Brady not talking about how he doesn't feel appreciated. It's starting to leak a little bit in Foxborough now with the Patriots. But more times than not, a championship team will keep it under the vest. They keep the drama down. And so with this Warriors team, there are some that are looking for drama. I'm looking for success from this Warriors team, because I want to find out what's next, who can beat the Warriors. I think that that's very intriguing to me. So on The Jump today, that's on every day on ESPN, Scottie Pippen is one of the guest hosts on that show. Scottie talked a little bit about, you know, whether or not some of the Warriors players, like Draymond Green is doing it now, or Kevin Durant or whomever, should the Warriors take less to win?
So there's reporting, you heard me just say, Clay, if he signed the extension, that would shave about $85 million off what the max is he could get the following summer. Wow. Owner Joe Lacob told Ramona Shelburne he would like to sign Draymond to an extension this summer, too. That would mean he would take a significant pay cut from what he could get in a couple years. Should these players even consider this? Because you've been in that position of wanting to keep everything together, but at what cost?
Well, I think winning is fun, and it's enjoyable, and it's something that you want to last forever when you're in the game, when you're going through your career. But ultimately, it's about you getting yourself financially stable in the game. And I think that's the way players see the game today, because the money is so big, even for the 12th, you know, guy on the team. So I think it's important for the players to really evaluate their career. You can't compare a lot of guys' careers to Kevin Durant or LeBron because those guys make so much more from endorsements
right.
and shoe deals. But for the other players, I think it's important for them to make the right decision financially and not really focus on just the championships.
Oh, so what Scotty's pretty much saying is take care of your money. Is that what I just heard? I think that's exactly how I heard it. He tried to go around the bend a little bit, but I think Scotty's pretty much saying take care of your money. Felix, put this on the poll at ESPN 1000. I just want to find out how people feel about this. If you are on the Warriors team, would you play for less money? Meaning, would you take a pay cut to be part of that championship team? Yes or no? See how that comes back. Because, listen, it comes down to whether or not you feel comfortable financially. When you're in that stratosphere financially like pro players are, you know the whole thing is when you're rich is that you want more, right? You want to be able to make more money. And this is how millionaires become billionaires or how they can maintain as millionaires is because you want to be able to hang in there and be able to increase your money as much as possible. Not get less, but to be able to make more, to earn more. And so all these players, whatever you think of all these players we watch in sports, they earn their salaries. They may underachieve, they may overachieve, but they do earn their money. And so when it comes to the Warriors, like Draymond Green had to take less in order to convince Kevin Durant to come to Golden State. So now, you know, Draymond Green probably looks at it and says, man, you know, will I be able to get mine? There's always ways to be able to have escalators in your contract or be able to have some kind of balloon payment or some way, shape, or form. But either way, you don't feel like you want to take less because you're working as hard as the next guy next to you, right? But at the same time, I'll use Stacey King for an example. If he hears me say this, I think he'll be okay with me telling the story. Because I think he said this to me when we worked together on NBA Radio on Sirius XM. Stacey King, after winning 3 championships, decided that I'm not getting enough shots. And Stacey King was a terrific college player. Watched him on Saturdays when playing at Oklahoma as a kid. He was a terrific player. But after 3 years of winning championships, that wasn't enough for Stacey. Stacey's like, you know, it's one thing for me to win a championship, but I cannot get involved. Phil Jackson will not allow me to be able to be a starter on this team. I can't be the player that I want to be. I feel handcuffed. I'm going to Minnesota. And he talked about how that's the biggest regret that he could have had because, yes, he was able to make maybe a little bit more money with Minnesota. But the point is that it was like the worst spot for him in his career. He's told me that story. So I think it's safe for me to tell you that story, that Stacey, in his mind's eye, if he was able to look back, he probably would have stayed with the Bulls as much as possible because at least there is championships. And at least you could be able to make money off the court. You'd be able to make something, right? You could do something financially. But sometimes it's the decision that you make that maybe makes you a little bit cautious. For Draymond Green, for Kevin Durant, for Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, things are gravy. Everything's working well for them. And I'm thinking that they want to stay together as much as possible to establish a legacy. Some other thoughts here from Kevin Durant at the parade. He says he wants to return to the Golden State Warriors.
A thought to the fans. You fit in perfectly. We want you back at any contract you would like for any amount in any years.
Why was that even a discussion? Why were you even talking about that? Yeah, for sure. We want to do this thing again. All the love and support.
It's funny because I think that comment was fairly benign, but I know this is going to be blown up what Kevin Durant just said, because that is Bob Fitzgerald, who was on the program last week, as a matter of fact, the voice of the Warriors. He was the host of this parade, and Kevin was just kind of like, you know, why is this a big deal? Of course. And so Bob Myers, the general manager, is like, yeah, I'll pay you whatever it takes. So Kevin Durant said, haphazardly, because he took his comments back on Jimmy Kimmel last night. He said that I can see myself playing until I'm 35 and then retiring. And now he's gone back on that saying, no, I don't want to do that. Here's the thing. For Kevin Durant, you definitely want to be able to lock in the best player, second best player in the NBA. Because even though you have Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, when you watch Kevin Durant, he makes things easier. And so, sure, they're going to pay him everything that he's worth because he is just that kind of great player. Let me just share this very quickly, too. I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast with Jalen Rose. Jalen was on the – Jalen and Bill were back together. I couldn't believe it. But I was listening to their conversation earlier today. And they were, it was an interesting conversation about Kevin Durant, because Durant sometimes is on that podcast and they're going back and forth and they're talking. And it's an interesting conversation about Kevin Durant and how Kevin thought that winning a championship would make him happy or solidify him, and it really has not. I think he actually admitted himself, like, I love that I'm an NBA champion, but I don't think that he's 100% happy, you know, being an NBA champion. I mean, it's one thing to be a champ, but he's not 100%, he's not 100% in a position where he feels like, wow, you know, I'm an NBA champion, it should feel great. He still is brooding. He still feels that he's disrespected, even though he's an NBA champion. It's amazing, but it's true. So that, if you get a chance to hear that podcast, I think it's very interesting. As you're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app, glad that you're with us as we go to FS1, an analyst for FS1 and the Big Ten Network. We will turn now to an author of two successful books. It's Stephen Bardo, and he is with me here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Steve, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
What's up, Jay Hood? Good to hear from you, my man.
Absolutely. First and foremost, I want to get your thoughts about the Bulls and their situation. What do you think of the status of Bulls basketball as we sit here?
You know, I think they're in an interesting place right now because they've got a lot of youth. They still got some question marks, but they've got some pieces to build around, particularly marketing. And so, you know, I think that the Bulls are positioned, if they can come out of this draft and this summer free agency well, they could possibly put themselves in back in Eastern Conference playoff contention. But they still got some question marks with LaVine and my main man, point guard from Providence, Dunn.
Chris Dunn, yeah.
Yeah, so they still got some question marks with those guys. Uber talented, but may not be the right fit for this particular franchise, but I just think there's a lot of upside there, Portis as well. And so I'd like to see the Bulls get aggressive with the draft and free agency and give the fans something to look forward to this winter.
I've been hearing a lot of this, and I guess this we'll know when a free agency officially starts, Steve. I've been hearing a lot of, and I don't know if you heard this in your circles as well, that the Bulls will try to be aggressive in free agency. And I'm just kind of like, well, wait a minute. So you traded Jimmy, and you want to trade Jimmy Butler, that's fine, because you think that Lauri Markkanen is going to be a piece to your future. Okay, that's fine. But you reset the organization, and you want to get younger and more athletic for a reason. So are you saying now that now it's a great opportunity for you to get quality free agents in here to play with these kids so you can be the seventh or sixth seed again? I don't understand the plan if the Bulls are going to get themselves like a B or C list free agent.
Well, I think, you know, they may have a 2 or 3 year plan in mind, but I would hope that they would start to get really aggressive and get the team to a point where it can really compete and compete for a playoff spot. It sounds like you're not really confident in that they could bring a second or third tier free agent and that it would make a big difference. But, you know, if they could go and get aggressive with one of these early picks, like, you know, I happen to like the kid from Missouri. I know he's got some back issues or whatever, but he was projected as a number one pick at one point. And, you know, Michael Porter Jr., I'd like to see the Bulls not go safe with that pick. I want to see him go get somebody that could be a star in this league. And if you couple that with an aggressive free agency, I think the Bulls could be in a better position than we think.
Stephen Bardo from FS1 and the Big Ten Network with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. I do want to ask you about Michael Porter. I talked to Deion Thomas a couple of weeks ago because he had a back issue as well. And he said that, you know, hey, I worked through it when I was overseas. I'm fine. And so with Michael Porter, it does give me pause, Steve, because I don't know if Michael Porter will be the kind of healthy player that you want him to be based on that back. I mean, the medicals are what they are. I know he's very talented, but what do you see in Porter that in which you think he can make a difference for a team?
Well, he's 6'10", so that's going to allow him to do a lot of different things on the floor, where he can be a stretch forward, he can go all the way down to the two position. He could really shoot the ball from the outside. When he was healthy, he was able to put it on the deck. And here's the thing, Jonathan, in my opinion. You're talking about a young man that's 19 years old. A lot of times, big guys, their bodies are still growing. And once you get with an NBA franchise, an NBA medical staff that knows what they're doing, he might be able to strengthen areas that will alleviate the issues that he had with his back. And so I think that Deion Thomas was saying it right, that the older guys get, the smarter they become with how they have to prepare and strengthen their body. And I just think with today's medical advances and things, that they know how to develop the core area, which for Michael Porter Jr. was probably a little weak because he's a taller, slender young man that really hasn't had a full year in a college level or NBA level weight room or strength training program. And I think if he got that, I think that he could be quite a steal, because there's some teams are going to back away from just because of those back issues. Mm-hmm. But I think the Bulls could go and get aggressive with him. And I think that he would be he could end up being a steal of the draft.
The Bulls medical staff ready for that? Or
Not the medical staff that was dealing with Luol Deng, but hopefully they turned that over a little bit since then.
I'm just concerned, man, because
for good reason.
Yeah, Derek
history dictates that.
Derek and Luol Deng is on his deathbed. I mean, that wasn't a good look, man. It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't. And it's hard to push that back too.
Oh, no question about it. So I want to ask you, I trust your eyes, Steve, when it comes to some of these young, talented players that will be in the league coming up in a few days. So I'll ask you to give me a thumbnail of a couple players that the Bulls could be looking at. We mentioned Michael Porter. I will ask you about Mikal Bridges from Villanova, the 6'7" junior. You know, the Bulls like a player with tread on the tires. Of course, you always look for a good program, but they, you know, as we saw with the Valentine pick and a few others, they don't mind taking an upperclassman. What do you think of what Bridges could bring to a team?
Oh, I think Bridges is going to be outstanding. Over a 7-foot wingspan, he's a legit 6'7". He's a lot tougher than he looks. He's a wiry, strong young man. You know, he comes from a tremendous program with Villanova. You've seen what he's been able to accomplish with them. I think he's going to be a better NBA player than he was college. Here's why. He's got NBA range on his shot. He can put it on the deck and get to the rim. He'll dunk on you. He doesn't mind getting hit. He talks a little trash on the side. You know, he's real smooth with it. You don't see him. But I don't see really any downside to his game. He's a willing defender. He'll be able to defend about 2 to 3 different positions. So, I mean, if he's on the board, you know, that's a tough decision. But I'm really high on Bridges.
What also do you think of some of the bigs on here, too? Because the theme in the first, I would say, within the first 10 picks, Steve, is the athleticism, a big that could be able to score the ball from the top of the key as far as three-point shots, that could be able to block shots, that could give you easy baskets on the rim. People are looking for the next Giannis Antetokounmpo is the point. And so what I'm looking at with a couple of these young guys, like a Marvin Bagley from Duke, what do you think that his upside will be on the next level?
Well, I think Bagley could have a tremendous upside. He reminds me a little bit of a more athletic Chris Bosh with similar left-handed approach. The question I have, though, when guys play primarily zone in college, it takes a while to learn how to guard at the NBA level. And so he's going to have a learning curve that may be a little bit longer than, say, a guy like Bridges or even Michael Porter Jr., who played 11 games with Missouri under a defensive-minded coach in Quanzo Martin. And so that's the only thing that I see, that Bagley's going to have a learning curve. Offensively, he's outstanding. He shoots it with range. He can put it on the deck. I didn't see many post moves, but I think that he could develop a move and a counter move to keep people honest defensively on the post. But he's got a big-time upside as well.
Some of the Kentucky kids, like Alexander and Knox, I saw both of those guys, as I was with the UIC Flames. I saw them in Lexington. I had to make that trip because I had never been to Rupp before, and I saw, and it just, it's amazing how Calipari is able to crank out these guys. They are so, I mean, look the part. Not, they look at like NBA size in person. It's one thing to see these guys on TV, but Steve, when you see them in person, man, it's just amazing. What do you think of what Kentucky will bring in that first round with a couple of their picks?
Well, I have a soft spot in my heart for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander because he's a 6'6 point guard that has way more skill than I ever dreamed of having, and it really turned it on down the stretch in the tournament. Really showed you what his capabilities are. And if you follow Kentucky players in the NBA, they come ready to play hard each and every night. So he's not going to have a problem fitting in wherever he goes. Knox is kind of the wild card in this draft, in my opinion. Knox is a kid that, to me, has NBA-level scoring ability already. I mean, this dude can score in a phone booth. And I believe the game that they lost in the tournament, he got in foul trouble, didn't shoot it well, but he's got that 6'8 frame, nice size. He's kind of a slippery athlete. But he could really be a young man that could be a wild card and, you know, kind of come in and be a rotational player maybe from day one.
Steve, is there someone in the draft that's not getting a lot of shine, someone that could be lower first, early second, that you saw in your travails as a broadcaster that you think they really could make a difference in the next level?
I think Kevin Herter could be an outstanding guard in the league at 6'7". He shot 40% from three this past season, and a quarter of those attempts were from NBA three-point land. So he's already comfortable there. He played point guard in high school before a late growth spurt, so he's very comfortable handling the basketball. He showed out very well at the NBA pre-draft camp, so I think he could be somebody that could be surprising. I also think Jalen Brunson could be a guy that's going to really surprise people because everybody keeps knocking his game. They try to knock him down. Well, he doesn't do this. Well, he doesn't do that, but the guy wins, and he's tough as nails. His teammates love playing with him. And he's probably got the highest basketball IQ of any player in the draft. So I think those two guys could be sleepers in this year's draft.
Do you like Mo Wagner? I keep seeing him early second. And there's one I see late first, but I see mostly early second for Wagner, the center out of Michigan.
Yeah, I like Mo. I think that, I like him more off the court than I do on, actually. Mm-hmm. I think he's very limited. Defensively, he's going to struggle with his lateral foot speed and having to play out on the floor because he got exposed a little bit through this season. But the way he stretches the floor, his offensive package reminds you a lot of a young Dirk Nowitzki. And Dirk didn't play any defense, and look how good his career turned out. So I could be wrong on the defensive end, but I think that Mo is going to have to go to the right franchise in order to blossom. If he doesn't go to the right franchise where they're playing a style that's conducive to his skill set, he could struggle.
You know, this Bartles breakdown on Facebook has gotten really popular. If people need to start following Stephen Bartle all throughout the season, I'm sure in the offseason as well, because now the season doesn't stop. This thing is really working out well for you. Can a lot of reaction from across the country on this Bartles breakdown on Facebook.
Yeah, it's been great, Jay Hood. Thanks for mentioning it. I don't know who did it. Maybe it was First Take. But basketball is now the hot stove league. Mm-hmm. Where baseball used to be talked about year-round. Now basketball seems to have replaced baseball as a hot stove league. And so it's amazing. If you go online, you go on YouTube, there are so many people talking about the NBA every single day, college basketball, the movement that's going on, the FBI Pro. So basketball, for its positive and its negative attributes, have really garnered the attention of really the world on a consistent basis. And, I just started doing those Bartles breakdowns, Jay, to get more comfortable with the technology, but also just get the reps. And it's just kind of taken off on its own. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that maybe your breakdown is good, Steve, but I just think that the Frankie Beverly and Maze in the background, that really makes the video. I think that when you have that smooth I think that that's a
thing. Frankie Beverly and Maine. Come on, Jay Hood.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm trying to go with some old school hip hop in the background, but it comes off sound like Frankie Beverly and Maine.
Well, my speakers. That's all I hear. All I see is like a barbecue in the back, and you know, a lot of Dobbs hats and a lot of Tommy Bahama shirts. That's what I get from Bartle's Breakdown. I don't know about you, but that's what I hear on my speakers.
Oh, that's funny. Some jumpsuits and some gators in the whole nine. Huh?
Listen, maybe it's just my computer, man, but I'm hearing a lot of old school out of there. So that's good.
I'll make sure to check that next time. Thanks for the heads up.
Okay, no problem. Where are you going to be for the draft? What will you be to tell everybody that Grayson Allen was a great pick?
Oh, wow. I may do something around the draft, may do a little Bartles Breakdown or something like that, but I'm going to be watching just like everybody else because it's going to be riveting. This draft class is going to be one of the better ones that we've seen in the last 5 or 6 years, so it'll be fun to see where these young men end up.
Lastly, I got to get this because I ask you this every year, and for the audience that does not know, please tell the story of when you were drafted and where you were.
I was in St. Petersburg, Florida, where my sister and brother-in-law used to live. So they were there. My parents were there. My brother and best friend were there. And I was so nervous early in the day that I started drinking these Long Island iced teas with my brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to have one or two just to, you know, try to take the edge off. And about four later, I struggled to see Kendall get drafted. I had to really fight to stay awake because I was passing out. But I saw Kendall get drafted the fifth pick, and I passed out. And I wake up, and my brother and my best friend are trying to throw me in the shower to sober up because the Atlanta Hawks had just drafted me. So Ed Babcock calls, and I don't remember half of what he said. I just, thank you, thank you. And so I didn't even see my name called on draft night. So I tell young players all the time, do something with your nerves and don't drink Long Island iced tea because you may miss your name call.
That is the best. Every year, that's still the best to me. Oh, all right, Steve. Well, I'm glad you spent some time. Looking forward to the draft, and we'll see what the Bulls and everybody else does.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, Jay. Thanks a lot for having me, man.
Absolutely. It is Stephen Bardo, FS1 analyst, also from the Big Ten Network, author of two successful books. You can find them on Amazon.com. Stephen Bardo joining me here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. We'll find out what's going on with the Cubs and Brewers, and we'll have Tales from the Hood next.
You're listening to Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood, weeknights here on ESPN 1000. Jesse Rogers is in Milwaukee covering the Cubs and the Brewers, and he files this report. Jess?
All right, 4-0 Milwaukee leads as they bat in the bottom of the fourth inning. Travis Shaw has all four runs driven in for the Brewers. Two two-run doubles, one in the first, one in the third. In that third inning, Jay Hood, I can't describe how the Cubs botched a rundown. It was like Little League out there. Two runners were on second base for the Brewers, but nobody was covering first. So one of them ran back to first base, and everybody was safe, where the Cubs should have had at least one out, maybe even two. In any case, the Brewers took advantage. Shaw doubled home, two more runs. So Tyler Chatwood's only given up one walk, but five hits. So they're hitting him tonight. At least they're earning their way on, and they're scoring runs tonight against the Cubs. 4-0 in the fourth. Back to you.
All right, Jesse, thank you. I saw that same play that Jesse's talking about. It's just romper room out there. It's one thing where the pitcher, the starter in Chatwood, is underachieving again out there. But then just the defense in the infield just completely collapsed in that one play. That can't happen. But again, with Chatwood out there, not everyone's not playing well. Let's do Tales from the Hood.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
All right, Tales from the Hood brought to you by the fine folks at the Taste of Joliet, the 2018 Taste of Joliet, June 22nd through the 24th, featuring headliners Rick Springfield, Dennis DeYoung of Styx, Brothers Osborne, Chase Rice, and Chris Lane. Tickets are just $11. Available now at tasteofjoliet.com. That's tasteofjoliet.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. You never know what you'll hear and find on Tales from the Hood. Let's do our first story. And that is from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. So a server's first day on the job at a Metro restaurant did not last long after she was arrested for allegedly using a credit card skimmer on customers' cards. Rachel Elizabeth Tyler, 34, was arrested and booked into the Oklahoma County Jail on one felony count of unlawful use of a computer. According to the police, Tyler also had multiple outstanding Oklahoma City and Tulsa County warrants. Police were called late Thursday evening to the Twin Peaks restaurant for a report of an employee possibly stealing while on the job. The manager told police one of her employees had a card skimmer in her pocket. Pardon the expression. A card skimmer. When the manager checked surveillance footage, she could see Tyler scanning customers' bank cards on the skimmer. The manager said of the video that she watched Tyler scan four or five cards in a computer terminal to pay the customer's bill and then swipe the card down towards her pocket before returning the card to an unsuspecting customer. The bond was set for $2,000 for that. Twin Peaks district manager is not commenting. He's not taking the calls that we placed for Tales from the Hood earlier. And I'm looking at her picture, and it's just it's just a bleach blonde female. And you would never suspect that she's doing it to you, but she got busted being a card skimmer, so she's a thief. She's awful. It's the worst kind.
The worst.
I love how you put the three names in there. Rachel Elizabeth Tyler.
All first names, by the way.
Okay, of course. So she's just awful. Awful.
Just to throw you off.
All right, let's go to something else here. Next story is about how he wanted to get rid of apartment tenants. Then the bombs went off, cops say. So one Florida man wanted tenants out of an apartment of the garage of his home, so he went along with his pal's plan to get them out using a bomb. That's according to Orange County deputies, who said Nathan Martin and Bruce Steffigan admitted to setting off a pair of acid bombs, homemade bombs often involving a 2-liter plastic bottle, and common household materials to create noise and ruckus after they were arrested last week. Martin, who's 38, is in jail throwing or projecting explosives. Steffigan, who posted $15,000 bond after being charged with the principal to discharge a destructive device. So he wanted to get rid of apartment attendants, and so the way he wanted to do that, he wanted to use acid bombs. Let me ask you a question. Isn't there a better way for you to get rid of tenants? I mean, that's almost like something the Gallaghers would do.
Yes.
Would they not?
Absolutely. Put dead animals in the house as well.
It's something the Gallaghers would do. What's the name of the show? I just forgot the name.
Shameless.
On Shameless. That's the same thing that would happen like in the South Side home, the West Side home of the Gallaghers on Shameless. Using acid bombs to try to get rid of tenants. Believable.
Didn't they? There was an episode like that, too, where someone from their family was trying to get them out of the house that they were currently living in. And they also did a whole bunch of traps and things like that to try to get their... It was like their great uncle or something to try to get them out of the house so that they can keep it at the end.
I feel like there was another... yes. And the other one where... I haven't watched the show in a while now. The oldest daughter... on the show,
Fiona
is a landlord, and she's trying to get those bums out of her building, and so she was able to dig a hole and take her dog back. I guess the tenant stole her dog. She got her dog back, and somehow she was able to get those tenants out of her home.
Yes.
Too. Guys, if you haven't seen Shameless, you have to see this. It's so Chicago in some ways. Shameless is out there. You got to check that out. Let us hear from our guy here, Johnny Manziel. Johnny Manziel with some thoughts about his time with the New England Patriots. Let's hear from Johnny, because now it's coming out of the woodwork. A lot of people have a lot of stories about Johnny, about the Patriots and the way they run business. Manziel had his own stories.
My first ever visit whenever we were going through the draft was in New England. I have no idea what's about to happen. You know, fly to Boston, go to a Patriot place, check into the hotel, call EB. I'm like,
it's a great story.
All right, man, what should I be doing? I'm here at like 4 or 5 o'clock. Like, he's like, you know what? Just kick back, have some dinner. You know, stay in your room. You never know. It's the Patriots. You don't really know what's going to go on. Pretty much, you know. Don't do anything that I wouldn't do, for the most part.
Which could be an array of things.
So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to walk over here to this grocery store. You know, I'm going to get some food. I'm going to get a nice bottle of wine. I'm just going to sit here and watch a movie, and I'm going to hang out. I get back to the room. I go to open the bottle of wine. I don't have a bottle opener. I'm going to have to do this old school. I'm just going to go ahead.
Here's the thing, though.
It
always starts with no bottle opener. Like, how about you call room service and be like, bring me a bottle opener? No.
Yeah, and then instead, Bill Belichick is on the other line, other end of the phone, like, oh, really, Mr. Manziel, you want a bottle opener? We'll see you later. Go back home. That was my thought process. There was cameras in the room everywhere, that anything I called and asked for would be directly relayed to the Patriots, for the most part, because I figured that's how they would be. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and, you know, just push the cork into the bottle and just yeah, you know, thug it out. The second I did that, it sprayed like a bottle of champagne all over the room, the walls, the white bed. There was a half a bottle of red wine.
Oh, so it was red
the bottle of wine everywhere, okay, all gotcha. Over yeah. the gotcha. Walls, all over the room, dripping, everything. I remember calling EB and being like, you think the Patriots are going to get the report of what standing this room is in after the time I check out of here? Because it's going to take me at least a day and a half to clean this shit off the walls, off the ceiling, new bed sheets, everything.
The story gets better. Then what happened that night?
Because after that failed attempt to try and be on the good side of my visits, I get a FaceTime from Gronk, and as I answer,
casual,
he's like, you're here for your visit. I just saw on Twitter, and he's like, I'm outside your hotel, and I'm like, well, that was quick. He's like, yeah, I just got out of practice. You want to hang out? That escalated probably a little bit more than just having a bottle of wine in the hotel room. But you know, for as big as he is, that guy can actually play some ping pong. I was really 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 surprised, and maybe drink a couple beers.
Thoughts there from Johnny Manziel about his time with the Patriots. So paranoid, he thinks that Belichick's everywhere. All right, Felix, what do you have?
All right, Jonathan, we have to have a conversation about this, because it seems like every time in Tales from the Hood, when we pull up stories, it's either trucks, you know, on the freeways or the highways. We also have that lottery ticket stories. Remember the last one we spoke about was about the lady who walked out of church and found out that she had won money, and it took her a while to find out, and then she figured it out that Sunday morning. Today I have a story in Australia, an Australian man who won $1.5 million off his lottery prize realized that his ticket had spent 5 weeks stuck to his refrigerator door. The Catherine Northern Territory man told the officials he bought a 50-game quick pick entry for the May 5th Tats Lotto drawing at Catherine Exposure Photographics, and he later heard someone in the area had won, but he didn't even consider that it could be him. He said, I had the ticket on the fridge at home the whole time, the man said. He said the ticket was on his refrigerator door for about 5 weeks before he took it down to check the winning numbers for the drawing were 34, 28, 22, 42, 45. How about that? What is going on with people? I mean, I feel like if you're playing the lotto, aren't you double checking these things?
I don't know how you forget if you spent money on a lottery ticket.
Even if it's like $1.
Even if it's $1. If it's one of those things where I'll take the weekly, straight box, whatever it is, you go ride with that number. You never forget the number. You never forget that you had that ticket. I don't know how you play the lottery, you're like, oh, I'm not going to win anyway, so I just know. You just never know. You can't win unless you play. That's the lottery way. I don't understand those stories. Like, maybe I'm just tight with the money when it comes to gambling. So if I have a lottery ticket, I'm damn sure going to make sure that if I'm a winner or not that night, as a matter of fact, if possible, whether it's the midday or the late night lottery, I need to know if I won that particular day.
Especially if someone found out that it's in the area as well, you would think it has to be you at that point, right? What are the odds?
All right, Sean, what do you have?
couple buys new home and they find a valuable item in a shoebox. They look in the shoebox and they find a vase that ended up being auctioned at Sotheby's in Paris on Tuesday that sold for more than 20 times its estimated guide price, which was 500,000 to 700,000 euros. Now, the highest price ever reached for a single item sold at Sotheby's in France. The vase formed part of a family inheritance and was recently discovered in an attic of a home moved into. The 30-centimeter bulb-shaped vase, painted in shades of green, blue, yellow, and purple, was designed exceptionally well-preserved and in clean, pristine condition, and was made for the emperor of the Qing dynasty over thousands of years ago, dating back to somewhere in between 1500 to 1650. So, what's the craziest thing you think you might have found or left behind when you moved to a place?
The craziest thing that I have seen.
Anything of value?
Let me think a second. Give me a second.
Old baseball cards.
Not that I found. I did find. How about this? The house that we moved into, we found a collection of old newspapers from the Kennedy administration that were in pristine condition that we still have today. We didn't want to throw those out. Those were left behind. It's not an odd thing. It's just it's rare to find JFK during that time and newspapers like that. You know, I know some people that like live with no paper at all in their crib now. They don't, you know, they live paperless because that's what kind of the society we live in. But man, I kept those newspapers because I had never seen those before in good condition. As a matter of fact, some of those old JFK newspapers. So that's I found that to be interesting that was still around.
That's crazy to look in a shoebox and find something that's valuable. That's like hitting a lottery ticket at worse odds.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. You know, well, the way people look at items, Sean, sometimes they look at it and it's just like, well, you know, I've got no use for it. I'm leaving it behind or I'm moving to someplace smaller so I don't have use for it. And then or don't do the research to find out what's good or not. It's like those two guys from Iowa on that show. They get in that little van. I don't know how those guys from Iowa, they travel all across the country, the American Pickers.
Yeah.
How they find a way to get all that stuff in there. That van is small. That's a short bus. I don't know how they're able to get all their stuff in it, but they've got like large pictures. Maybe they get maybe another car they're able to put in there. Like, how do you get all that stuff in that little? But those are the best guys. Those American Pickers find things that people don't cherish. And the same thing in that story.
You have to find the best garage sales right now during the summer because people don't know what they have.
No, absolutely not. Get out of there, Stosh. Get out. And that is Tales from the Hood right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. All right, for you wrestling fans, after SmackDown Live is over at 9 o'clock, we'll hear from Bruce Pritchard. Brother Love is going to be with us. We'll get his thoughts about the show coming to the House of Blues on Saturday night after the NXT show. There's a big pay-per-view taking place in the WWE over the weekend on Sunday. So we'll talk to Bruce Pritchard about his career. Something to wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, his podcast that's coming up next. As you're listening to Under the Hood.
Jonathan Hood, weeknights on ESPN 1000.
All right, coming up, we'll hear from Bruce Pritchard with something to wrestle with, the longtime WWE producer and talent. We'll get his thoughts coming up after SportsCenter. Also, Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic will get his thoughts as well on the Bulls and the NBA draft. All part of our 9 o'clock hour right here on ESPN 1000.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.